Since the railroad went through our place, we got a lot of hobos came to our house, and Mom would give them any cold biscuits that was left over from our breakfast. She'd give them, that's all we had to give them. So she'd give them the biscuits, and we're getting an awful lot of them. And Mom and Dad said, why are they all coming to our place? And finally, a black man came along, and he told Dad, he said, I'm hungry, and I want something to eat. But he said, unless you let me work for it, I'm not eating it. So Dad said, well, what's your name? And he said, Elsie. So Elsie stayed with us a couple of years, and he was my dad's right hand for a long time. And he didn't want any money. He just wanted to eat and a place to sleep and bathe. And he, no matter how cold it was, he would bathe in cold water because he couldn't stand to be dirty. And Dad asked him, how come we're getting all the hobos coming up here? He said, oh, didn't you know? He said, we hobos have a certain way of putting a sign on a post where they get food, so they know there's food there and will be given and won't be driven away. So they go up to that house. That's why we were getting them all. We didn't know why. But it was survival for them, too. And another thing that happened in Cheyenne that made a big impression on me with the depression and hungry people, a Mexican family came along on their way to another state, and their old car broke down, and they had some children. I don't know how many they had, because I was only like 4 or 5. And the woman was in the car, and her husband was out trying to fix the car and needed some parts, and they didn't have any money for parts or anything. So people in town took them food and helped them out that way. And the woman was due to have a baby any minute, and she had a little baby girl in that car with her children and husband in there. And the woman cried, and because she had the baby, she said, I won't be able to feed it. She said, it'll probably die like my other children. We just don't have anything. And so the banker and his wife took the little girl, new baby. They didn't have any children and couldn't have. So they took the baby to their house and kept this little girl. And they made a little princess out of her. She was a cute little thing. And they dressed her like a little doll because they had a little bit of money when nobody else did. And shortly after that, my dad and mom and I got on in the Model T, and we went down to Grandma Maccabee's, who was then in Arapahoe, Oklahoma, and which is 5 miles north of Clinton. And she and my grandfather had gotten a job as superintendents of the poor farm, county poor farm. And Grandma did their washing and cooking for them, and the people had rooms like we do here. Most of them just had a bedroom and kind of a sitting area. And they ate in one big hall where my grandmother cooked. So Mom and Dad got in the car, this Model T, and it was getting stuck all the way in the mud because, of course, no roads were paved or graveled or anything. They were just like 40 miles of mud. And it gets stuck, and Dad would work it out. We'd go on, and we got down there, and my grandfather had gotten sick, and he was in a bedroom, and he loved to have his hair combed. It was very soothing to him, so he called me and asked me to comb his hair. I did, and I just sat there and combed his hair for hours because I loved him and loved to talk to him. And my aunt came and told me to leave because she had to give Grandpa medicine. So I reluctantly left, and he had had a heart attack, and he died. And I just got through combing his hair when he died. I was 6, and my cousin, who was about my age, and I used to sit on the couch in the front room. Grandpa would come in from the field at lunch, and he wore this old black Stetson, and he had oil in his hair. And so the band around his head got the oil, and then the red dirt from Oklahoma got on it. He, like he had a red band around this black Stetson he wore all the time. So he'd come sit on the couch, and he wore overalls. And my cousin and I would sit on each side of him, and he'd pretend he was asleep, and we'd sneak up and unhook his suspender on each side. And his overalls were so tight around his belly, he couldn't have lost his pants, even if you tugged with a team to pull them off. And but he would all of a sudden wake up and he'd say, "What are you girls doing?" And we just roll and giggle and giggle and giggle. We thought that was the greatest thing with Grandpa. So he was my favorite. And we went to his funeral, my aunt and my grandmother. And when we got back, they told me to wake up. I'd fallen asleep in the back seat because he was buried about 35 miles from where they lived. I fell asleep and they told me to wake up. I had a little brother. And I thought they were kidding me, and I didn't want to wake up, but I finally did. And sure enough, while we were at the funeral, my mom had my little brother.
Wow.
So I was 6 years older than him. He was born on the 22nd of February, and I was born on the 3rd of February. Mm-hmm. So I just turned six when he came along.